Hey, greetings, friends. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels, and I'm so glad you're getting ready to hear a message that was preached at the Mount Zion Church here in Los Angeles, California. You're getting ready to hear a life-changing word from God, and I don't want you to miss any life-changing words. So make sure you go YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel today, subscribe to our podcast, anywhere you see podcasts so that you can experience all that God has for you. Well, listen, let's get into this word. I know it's going to bless you. I'll be back at the end. It's up from here. Reading today from the New King James Version of the Word of God. It may read slightly different from yours, but if your book says Bible, you're in good company. John chapter 10, commencing our reading at verse 1, concluding, climaxing at verse 10. This is how my Bible reads. Most assuredly, King Jimmy would say, verily, verily, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. Some of your translations, if you have newer ones, may say by the gate, but climbs up some other way. Same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Go figure. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Say amen for the reading. That's enough for us to chew on for the day. If you don't mind, for the time that is also shared together today, I want to tag this text with this thought in our minds. I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way. When you find a neighbor to lift to the right before you take your seat and look at him and tell him, neighbor, I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way. Lift those hands towards heaven and say, Lord, speak. We need to hear. You may be seated in the praises of our good and gracious God. I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way. Now, I'm going to start off by saying, friends, a few weeks ago, I went to visit a few of my members who were in the same exact hospital. I went to go and see a few of them that were there so that I could perform my pastoral duties. I'd been to this particular hospital before and thought that I knew the way in, especially to the unit in which I was going. Yet, as I was trying to get in the door, security officer would not let me in the door. I kept trying to explain to the security officer that where I needed to go was just beyond those doors. Yet due to the COVID protocol, he told me that there was only one door I could go in. So that I'd be able to be screened and I'd be able to get a mask and I'd be able to sign in and all of those things. And I thought I was going to be able to talk her out of it. Let her know, you know, I'm a pastor and I'm here being a pastor. You know, I'm not here for fun. I'm here because I'm trying to do my priestly duties. And that woman looked at me with a smile on her face and she said to me, I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way. Friends, that's what's happening in our text this morning. John chapter 10 opens up with the words, verily, verily. Some translations would say very truly, are like the translation I read today says, most assuredly, which means Jesus is not starting a new line of thought, but rather he's continuing in the one he was already engaged in. Whenever you see verily, verily, that means Jesus is just continuing what he's talking about, which means that John chapter 10 is actually the continuation of the events that happened in John chapter 9, where we left off last week. Because after that blind man testifies of his healing, the Pharisees decide to kick him out of the synagogue, basically excommunicating him from Judaism, which ultimately was their way of kicking him out of the family of God.
And ultimately, it was their way of saying that he was ineligible for relationship with God. And the mere fact that they do this shows that they are just as spiritually blind as Jesus has been telling them that they are all throughout chapter 9. And since they still seem to not get it, Jesus moves from the metaphor of light and darkness. Now, as we come to John chapter 10, he shifts to a metaphor that will be familiar to his listeners, and that of the relationship of a shepherd and the sheep. It is there in the first 5 verses of John chapter 10 that Jesus tells a story that will be familiar to all of his listeners that set the stage for the 2 revelations of his identity through 2 more I am statements. We'll deal with one today and the other on next Sunday morning. But Jesus tells the story of an event that would take place there in ancient Palestine each night and each morning. Each night, shepherds would enclose their sheep in what was known as a sheep pen or a sheepfold. The sheep pen or the sheepfold was usually an enclosure made of piled rocks on 3 sides and thorns on the top of the rocks to keep out the wild animals. The enclosure would only have 1 opening for where the door or the gate would be. However, when you study ancient Palestine customs, you will discover that there was no door or gate ever installed by the shepherd, because either the shepherd or one of his servants would lay at the opening of the sheep pen all night long, and that shepherd would serve as the door or as the gate. And the only way you could get in or out of the pen the right way was that you would have to go through the shepherd who was the door. And in typical fashion, the Pharisees did not understand the message Jesus was trying to convey. So Jesus then drops his first revelatory statement in this text. He says, "I am the door." This was Jesus' way of telling the Pharisees that you don't have the authority to decide who can and who is and who isn't a part of the family of God and the kingdom of God. That people don't have to come to God through you. They come to God through me, because I am the door. You see, the problem with the Pharisees is that they thought that right relationship with God came through certain principles and certain practices. But Jesus wanted them to know that right relationship with God does not come from certain principles. Right relationship with God comes through a certain person. That the only way we can become a part of the family of God is through Jesus Christ. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this, friends? Because I think this is a good word for those of us who live in 2022. Live in a culture that believes that they can get to God so many different ways. And sadly, friends, I'm not just talking about unbelievers, but you've got professing Christians who believe that there are different kinds of ways that they can get to God and receive from God. So that's why there are those who now believe God is in the universe, God is in the ancestors, and God is in the burning of your sage. God is in the wearing of your waist beads. God is in philosophies and science and institutions. And God is in horoscopes and all this other stuff. And I know I grew up a Baptist boy, but every Sunday night I used to sneak off to the Pentecostal church. And I liked going to the Pentecostal church because they had some good songs that had good theology. When I used to go over to the Pentecostal church, they used to sing a song that they said, "There will be light in the evening time. The weight of glory you shall surely find. It's through the waterway. It's the light today. Baptized
baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sins, and the Holy Ghost shall come in. The evening time has come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. Here was the part I like. They would say, there's only just one. I know y'all Baptists, y'all don't know this one. One way to God. There's only just one way to God. And maybe today you're in this church, or maybe today you're watching me online, or maybe today you're listening by radio or to our podcast, and you're one of those people who thinks that you can mix a little of Jesus with a little of this and a little of that. But I came to tell you today, I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way, because Jesus plus anything equals nothing. There's only one door you can go through to get into the family of God. And Jesus makes it clear. He says, I am the door. Which means he's the only way that we can come into the community of God. And that's the whole point of my little sermon today. That's the thesis for this sermon. That there is only one way to relationship with God and the people of God. And that one way is through Jesus Christ. See, that was the problem with the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees thought they wanted religion without relationship. See, they thought right relationship with God came from following rules. They didn't realize that right relationship with God came with following the Redeemer. And that's where some of us are today, friends. I know you in church on the good first Sunday morning, but the truth of the matter is some of us are just like that. And that's why some of you done already turned me off, because some of us have good religion but no genuine relationship. And I'm not here today to tell you that you can't have your religion. I just came to tell you, make sure you got a relationship too. Keep your hymns, but make sure you got Jesus. Keep your traditions, but make sure you got Jesus. Keep wearing your white and your black on the first Sunday if you're going to come to this church. But just make sure you have Jesus. Why, Pastor? Because none of your religion is going to save you. Only your relationship with Jesus Christ will give you access to God and make you a part of the family of God. So here's the take-home truth, and I'm almost done today. I told y'all the next couple weeks we probably wasn't going to shout none, but it's okay. I hope you're growing some. Here's the take-home truth, and I'm almost done. If you want to get to God, you got to come through Jesus, because there's no other way. That's the sermon in a sentence. That's all I came to tell you today. If you're going to come to God, you got to come through Jesus, because there is no other way. Jesus says, I am the door. So what does that mean? That's the question I want to answer today. What does it mean for Jesus to be the door? Anybody interested? Three things I see in the text. Let me share them with you and I'm out of here. Here's the first one, Kim. Jesus being the door, the first thing that means is, here it is. First of all, it means he grants me access to the family. Will you say that with me? Say, grants me access to the family. Watch the text, Faith. Jesus opens up this story by saying, anyone, verse 1, who doesn't come through the door but climbs in any other way is a thief and a robber. You see, friends, in those days, the sheep pen was not built very high, because the main purpose was to keep the sheep in, not necessarily to keep the robbers out. And with smaller walls, there were times that thieves and robbers would climb over the walls of the sheep pen to try to take a sheep or to kill a sheep so that they would hurt the wages of the shepherd. But Jesus says, the one who enters by the door is the shepherd. I love it, because Jesus is saying that there is only one way to get access into the family of God, and it's that you have to come through the door. You can't sneak in, you can't slide in, you can't be familied in, you can't get in through the back door. You've got to come through Jesus. Friends, this is a strong word for us. Because I came to tell you today, especially some of us who've been in church our whole lives, mama can't get you in. Daddy can't get you in. Pastor can't get you in. Mentors and friends can't get you in. There are no faith fives to get you in. You got to go through the door. Got to come through Jesus. And Jesus says, the only way to get in this family is by coming through the door. And I love it because herein lies two revelations. Can I share them with you? Here's the first one. The first reason I like that Jesus says this about access is because the door of the sheep pen, first of all, controlled who got in. Everybody say it controlled it. See, the reason that the shepherd served as a door is so that he could ensure that the wrong people didn't get in the pen. See, in those days, there was more than just one flock in a sheep pen. But the shepherd at the door knew the other shepherds who had left their sheep in the pen. And the shepherd would only get up to let in the door somebody who belonged inside the pen. And church, that makes me shout because Jesus is still doing that for you and I today. You see, when we allow Jesus to be the door of our lives, then he gets to control what comes in our lives. And some of you wouldn't be going through so much and dealing with so much if you would have let Jesus take his rightful place in your life as the door of your life. Because here's the shout. Here's the shout. The sheep pen didn't build a door, which means that without the shepherd being there, the pen is wide open. And that's where some of you are right now in your life. Wide open. That's why you let in anything. That's why you let in anybody. That's why you let in all kinds of philosophies and ideologies. That's why you let in all kinds of habits and all kinds of behaviors. Why? Because you don't have no door. But when you let Jesus be the door of your life, then he can control what comes in your life. And he can make sure to keep the thieves and the robbers out. And I'm looking for some folk in this church who can testify, Pastor Daniels, I know that's right. Because there were seasons of my life where I tried to do things on my own. And I let thieves and robbers into the sheep pen of my life. But I'm looking for somebody who can testify. But when I let Jesus be the door, he only let into my life what was best for my life. Because ultimately, he's not just my door. He's my shepherd. And if he's my shepherd, he knows what's best for me. And I don't know who I'm preaching to in this church. But I came to tell somebody that you ought to be glad that you serve a God who knows how to keep the wrong stuff out of your life and only bring the right stuff in. I'm looking for somebody in this church who can testify that when I've left my life wide open, all kind of stuff happened. But when I let Jesus be the door, he only let in the right relationships. He only let in the right opportunities. He only let in the right people. He only let in the right stuff. But the door of the sheep pen had one more purpose. That ain't my shout, the control. No, no, here's my shout. Here's my shout. It didn't just control who got in. But here's the second one. It contained who got in. You see, Ben, the reason that shepherds would put their sheep into sheep pens at night was not just to control who came in, but to contain the sheep that went in. Because see, Tony, sheep are wandering animals. Sheep are dumb and directionless animals. That's why sheep need shepherds. Because left to their own devices and their own leadership, sheep will lead themselves where they should not go. That's why your favorite psalm, if you just read your favorite psalm, it shows you that. Just look at the 23rd psalm. As long as the Lord is my shepherd, the sheep don't want. Sheep get to green pastures, get to still waters, have their souls restored, led in paths of righteousness. But notice, as soon as the sheep gets to talking about themselves and where they end up, look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Do you see that? As long as the shepherd was leading the sheep, they were beside green pastures and still water. But all of a sudden, when the sheep start leading their own life, they get into the valley. You know why? Because left to our own devices, we wander. Maybe you can't be honest about it this morning. Maybe you don't want to admit it. But Debbie Troy, I can admit, sometimes I wander from the shepherd. Yeah, see, Auntie Mother, it ain't because I'm a bad person. No, it ain't because I ain't saved for real. You know, but sometimes I do wander from the shepherd. See, sometimes I wander from the shepherd because I get frustrated with his other sheep. Sometimes it ain't that I don't like him. I don't like some of y'all. But that ain't the only reason. Sometimes I wander from the shepherd because I get fatigued on the journey. Sometimes you just get tired. You get tired of helping folk that's hurting you. You get tired of smiling at folk you know talking about you. You get tired of being the bigger person. You get tired of blessing folk who want to cut your neck as soon as they get an opportunity. You get tired of sowing into people who don't sow into you. You get tired of going to church and giving God your all. And it seems like folk who out in the world can do whatever they want to do and things are well. Sometimes you get tired of folk that come to church and dress up, but they just mean and evil and messy and scandalous and just downright demonic. Sometimes I get fatigued. I get tired of this. But sometimes I wander from the shepherd because I fail to prioritize my relationship with him. Sometimes I wander from the shepherd because other things become more important in other seasons than God. Don't look at me like that. And that's why some of you'll make sure your child get to baseball practice and to track meet and to tennis and all that, but you can't wake them up to get to Sunday school because sometimes we fail to prioritize our relationship with the Father. But here's the last one. Sometimes I wander from the shepherd because I fall into sin because it gets my attention even if it don't get my devotion. Because some of us don't want to admit it, but sin ain't got your devotion, but it sure know how to get your attention. So some of us, it ain't that you make a lifestyle out of it. You just end up in places you are not. Y'all don't want to talk to me. But can I give you the shout? Here's the shout. The shepherd puts me in the sheep pen. And he lays at the door. Because the shepherd knows that my nature is to wander out of the pen. So he stays at the door, hey, to make sure that he keeps me in the pen. And I'm looking for somebody in this church today that knows that you got a God that don't just know how to keep the wrong stuff out of your life, but you also serve a God who knows how to keep you in the pen when your nature would make you run a wonder out of the pen. And I ought to have about two or three witnesses in the room right now who can testify that that's what Jesus has been doing in my life right now. He's keeping me in the pen. I need some real folk in this church that can testify that sometimes he keeps me in the pen and I don't even want to stay in the pen. Yeah. See, because sometimes I know right and I still want to do wrong, but I thank God that Jesus knows how to keep me in the pen so that I won't forfeit my future. He knows how to keep me in the pen so I don't destroy my destiny. He knows how to keep me in the pen so I don't abort my assignment. He knows how to keep me in the pen so I don't waste his grace. He knows how to keep me in the pen so he can save me even if it's from me. And I wonder, is there anybody in this church who can just lift up both your hands, throw your head back, and say, Lord, keep me in the pen. Because if you don't keep me in the pen, I'll do something I shouldn't do. If you don't keep me in the pen, I'll say something I shouldn't say. If you don't keep me in the pen, I'll be somewhere I shouldn't be. If you don't keep me in the pen, I'll find myself in a bed with somebody I shouldn't be in the bed with. Is there anybody that can give God praise? Because he won't just keep the wrong stuff out, but he know how to keep me in.
I'm almost done. Y'all don't like this sermon. He's the door because he grants me access to the family. Here's the second thing it means for him to be the door. It means he guards me from being allured by the false. Will you say that with me? Say, he guards me from being allured by the false. I'm cutting across the field like this. But Fran Milton, here's a big point that I don't want y'all to miss today. I don't want you to miss this. Mama Tyus, don't miss this. Mama Hawkins. Everything the world offers, and I really hope my young people are listening to me right now. Everything the world offers is false at best. False love. False success, false satisfaction, false happiness, and even a false sense of security. When the cookie, it's all false. And Jesus came so that he could guard us from the false things that the world offers us that are very alluring. See, I'm not one of these preachers that's going to get up here and lie to you. See, I get tired of preachers that lie. acting like, you know, you just became an angel as soon as you got saved. And that you're walking around with a halo on your head. No. I'm a real preacher. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not about to stand up here. You know, I hear preachers all the time talking about, just stay away from sin. Just stay away from it. Just stay. Tell me how. Be holy. What does that mean? Because some of y'all think holiness, some of y'all think holiness is about what you don't do. Holiness is really about who you are. And some of you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't cuss, you don't sleep with nobody, but you are a horrible person. Your heart is foul. Jesus said it ain't what go into a person that defiles them, because what go into them gonna go in their stomach and it's gonna come out the sewer. He said it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. Some of you, when I hear you talk, I know you ain't saved. You can't talk about you love Jesus, but you can't keep your mouth off me. No, I'm not here to tell you that sin ain't alluring. Sin is very alluring. The stuff that the world offers is very alluring. Because if sin wasn't alluring, you wouldn't do it. Because you've only stuck with the sins you like. I'm preaching better than they talking to me. Because some of us done tried a lot of stuff, we just didn't like it. But you done stuck with the ones you like to do. Sin is alluring.
Well, God bless you, friends. I just believe and know that that word ministered to you as they often do. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel or to our podcast, and you can get all that God has for you. And if you'd like to sow into our ministry that is literally touching lives all around the world, not just by meeting spiritual needs, but practical ones as well, you can go to our website, www.mountzionla.org, or Cash App, Mount Zion LA, or look us up on Giblify. Remember, your generosity matters and makes a difference in the lives of so many. Until I see you, know that I love you, I'm praying for you, and I declare that the absolute best is yet to come. It's up from here.